on the line. I have Brian McLaughlin from the Inner City Helping Homelessness. Good afternoon to you, Brian. How are you?
Afternoon, Alan. Graham, thanks very much.
Okay, congratulations on the European Citizenship Award.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's a big deal for our organisation to be recognised on a European level. You know, it kind of shows the hard work and dedication of the 180 volunteers that keep our organisation going 7 days a week.
And I have to say, like, even though you're well known and stuff like that, but a lot of stuff you do is below the radar.
Yeah, I mean, it's because of the situation we're in with the homeless crisis. I mean, it's a 7 day a week job, and it starts first thing in the morning and it can go on until 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, it's one of those things. If we didn't have such a dedicated group of people that were so passionate in trying to help sort this problem out, you know, we wouldn't be able to keep going the way we do.
Yeah, and I mean, the latest that has come out, like, that it's not getting any better. I mean, Minister Coveney was saying, like, within a year things would be sorted out, there wouldn't be people in emergency accommodation, and of course that has fallen through, as many other things have as well.
Yeah, I mean, Minister Coveney in January of last year, at the time, you know, stated that all families would be out of emergency accommodation, such as hotels and B&Bs, come the 1st of July last year. So we're fast approaching the one-year anniversary, and yet there's still so many families that are trapped in that groundhog day of living in one room in a hotel and bed and breakfast. So the problem is definitely not getting any better. If anything, we're starting to see a truer reflection of just how bad the crisis is.
And the amount of people actually on the streets, has that increased, Brian?
It hasn't increased, no. I mean, basically, from our perspective, on a nightly basis, we could be dealing with anywhere from, you know, 80 people up as far as maybe 130. Now, before Christmas last year, we, for the first time ever, we actually assisted 200 people in one night on the street. So there are definitely more people coming in off the street, but the truth of the matter is we're probably not getting everybody either. A lot of people are kind of basing themselves in squats and maybe in parks and places off the beaten track, you know, for their own safety. So there could be a lot more people out there that we don't even get to. So I would always kind of say I'd err on the side of caution when it comes to figures like that. If we're dealing with, say, 120 in a night, the realistic figure is probably 150 or 160.
Yeah, because people you wouldn't probably know about, I was talking to someone recently about it, in the parks, in the suburbs and places like that, there's a lot of people that don't really get into the city centre really at all.
Yeah, now our van would kind of assist people that are outside the city centre as such, but we would kind of need to know they're there. So usually the way the process would work would be if either the person that's sleeping out themselves or a member of the public rang us to say they had seen a tent or whatever it may be in some park, our van will go out to them, and once we engage, we'll add them to the list so we can contact them the following night and every night subsequently to say, look, are you guys okay? Can we bring anything out to you? So we do get to as many as we can, but there's no question there has to be people that we're not engaging with, that we don't know are there, that just don't want to be contacted. So, I mean, as I say, the figure for the amount of people sleeping out is guaranteed to be higher than we're seeing.
Yeah, and is the age profile, is a lot of young people. I mean, people have a sort of a perception of who's on the streets, but some young people and quite a few families as well would be correct in saying that.
Young people for sure. I mean, when it comes to the people that are sleeping out, we are seeing a definite increase in the kind of 18 to 25 year old range. Now, from a family perspective, we would never have a family on the street. You know, you can never have a situation where children are on the street. We will do whatever it takes if someone contacts us to say there's a family in that situation. To give you an example, over the last 6 weeks or so, we've spent our own money on numerous occasions when a family have come to us that have been told by homeless services to go and sleep in a guard station for the night. And, you know, the lack of compassion and common sense to send children to sleep in a guard station, it just baffles us. You know, we get on and we try and find accommodation for that one night at whatever the cost may be. And that's something we feel is essential, because children shouldn't be sleeping in an environment like that. It just shouldn't be allowed.
Okay, I know a lot of your work depends on fundraising and stuff like that, and the generosity of the public. So if people listening now want to help in any way, what could they do?
Yeah, I mean, we're, as you say, we're not a government-funded organisation, and we are completely voluntary-run, so we are completely dependent on the general public and our corporate charity partnerships as well. So, I mean, there's a number of ways people can contribute to us. They can just donate directly via our Facebook page at facebook.com/innercityhelpandhomeless. They can go on our website, which is ichh.ie, or they could run some sort of fundraising event for us, you know, be it a skydive, be it a marathon, whatever it might be, we would also ask people to do the likes of food appeals and clothes appeals for us. So there's a number of different ways the public can get involved. And I mean, I always say to people, we're always in need of help. You know, we're reliant on people supporting us and supporting our work. So anyone can get in touch with us through info@ICHHDublin.com.
Okay, Brian, have you applied for government funding?
No, we haven't. No. We've always been independent in that regard. It's not something we have looked at. We kind of feel to a certain degree sometimes maybe some of the government organisations are held back in what they really would like to be able to say regarding the problem. Whereas we believe we can say exactly what's going on out there. We think the public need to have an accurate reflection on what's going on out there. There's been numerous cases, as you're probably aware, recently of the government overestimating the amount of social and affordable houses that have been built. And just last week, a report came out from the Central Statistics Office which showed that there was an overestimation of about 60% on the amount of social homes built since between 2011 and 2017. So, you know, we want to be able to come out and tell the truth and let people fully understand what's going on out there, because sometimes the picture that's painted by the government isn't a true reflection on what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Well, the work that you're doing there has been reflected in this wonderful award that you've received. So will that help you in any way? I mean, it's great recognition and all, and you don't want government funding. So in what way could it help you?
I mean, the biggest way for us is, as you said, it's the recognition and the awareness. If more people that maybe weren't aware of us suddenly start following us as a result of that award, well, that in itself is something, because, I mean, the biggest thing we always push is the awareness side of things. You know, a lot of people out there still don't fully grasp what's going on within homelessness. So the more people that are aware of us, the more people that are listening to us, the better for us. I mean, we had a kind of a good week there where not only did we get the European Citizenship Award, but the week before, our CEO, Anthony, was named Best Dubliner in the 98FM Awards. And then last Thursday, we were at the Mansion House for our head of volunteering, Anne Byrne, who got a recognition award from the Lord Mayor for her dedication and volunteering with ourselves. So it was a big week for us in regards to recognition for the organisation.
Okay, it's absolutely fabulous, the work that's been done. And, I mean, it'll continue and continue. Do you see any break in the horizon at all of optimism in any way? Because it's very hard to see anything, as you say, when you see the reflection in research and the figures that is being put out. They talk these days about false news, but that's probably an example of it.
Absolutely. I mean, some of the people that have been, we would constantly kind of refer back to some of the experts when it comes to housing, such as, you know, the architect Mel Reynolds, the DIT lecturer Lorcan Sir. And a lot of these people have been saying for a couple of years that the figures the government were putting out were wrong, you know. And we got to the point where, you know, the minister and the junior minister, Damien English, publicly stated that these social commentators were wrong. And the report that came out last Thursday shows they were 100% right. So, I mean, we don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. I mean, the only way you're going to see a real impact in the homeless crisis is if it's social and affordable houses being built on the scale that's required. And so far, the political will hasn't been there from the government to do that.
And what about some of the hubs that have been opened up? I think there's one not far from here that will be opening up soon as well. Has that helped in any way?
No, I mean, it's still not a home. You know, it's pouring money into a black hole as far as we're concerned. I mean, we've over-relied on the private rental market, which has driven the rental prices through the roof in Ireland. We're seeing a situation where families are still in the hotels and the bed and breakfast. Now, the hub would be a slightly improved version of a hotel and bed and breakfast. But our biggest fear with the family hubs is the money that's being invested in them. Is our families going to be there for 2 years? You know, if it was a case families were going into a family hub with a guarantee of you won't spend any more than, say, 6 months in this property, then that's okay. But we're not seeing any guarantees. And it is going to be a situation like it was with the hotels, where you saw families that were in hotels for over 2 years. And that's just unacceptable. You know, it's no life for a family, and especially for children to grow up in that environment.
Yeah, and I suppose the danger is like a form of conditioning can take place as well within them, that it becomes acceptable for them themselves,
speaking,
I mean.
It's direct provision. Yeah, in a manner of speaking, it's a direct provision. I mean, we've had huge issues with regards to safety on site for a lot of these family hubs. You know, you're talking about children that are going to school every day, and, you know, there needs to be proper guard vetting, there needs to be proper child protection training for everybody on site, and we would have major concerns about that. And it's not something we feel is normal for children to go up in that sort of environment. You know, children deserve a home, be it an apartment or a house, but you know, these children are the future of the country. You know, they can't be growing up in this type of environment. So pubs aren't the solution as far as we're concerned. The only solution is a proper building programme.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose a big thing as well for children in that situation, as well as for the parents, is recreational facilities and all that sort of thing. And as you said, they're going to school, and the effect on them. And the big talk over the past year or two, if not longer, is mental health. So all this sort of adds into the mix, which is in no way, it's all detrimental.
Absolutely, Noel. I mean, there was a report delivered to the Dáil last year by Dr. Rory Hearn and Dr. Mary Murphy from Maynooth College on the impact on the mental health of the children. And it's clear, you know, there's developmental issues. I've personally spoken to parents who have had children, say, of maybe 13, 14-year-olds, whose grades and everything in school was fine until they entered homelessness, and then suddenly they saw a steep decline in the child's grades and, you know, and their mental health overall. So, I mean, these children aren't being supported properly by the government. It's as simple as that. These children need homes to be able to develop, to have a normal life and a normal upbringing. You can't be in a situation during the summer holidays where you have children in a family hub or a hotel or a bed and breakfast, and they can't even bring a friend over to play with them. They're not allowed to have visitors. I mean, that's not no way to live for anybody.
And do you think a perception of homelessness as well sort of is a misdemeanour to the extent that, you know, I'm surprised, I'm sure you are as well. I've heard a lot of people saying to me that there's not been a bigger public outcry.
It's starting to get there slowly but surely. I think people are starting to slowly realise it's not what we would have maybe had a perception of homelessness in the past, of someone that had maybe an addiction issue or a mental health issue, that was out on the street, that was, you know, sitting outside a McDonald's or an Eason's or whatever shop it might be. Mm-hmm. And that's completely changed in this country in the last 3 years. I mean, the most shocking statistic from my perspective is from 2015 to the end of 2017, there was an increase of 300% in the number of homeless children. There's been an increase of 27% in the 12 months that Minister Owen Murphy has been in his job. And that's what people don't realise. You know, that's something that's not necessarily visible to people. It's not something they see with their own eyes on the street. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they are the hidden homeless. But, you know, it's organisations like ourselves that have to keep fighting for them. Like last month, I'll give you an example. Especially during the summer, it's very hard for the parents to be able to entertain the children and, you know, get them out of the environment that they're living in for the summer holidays. So we actually trialled a thing last month where, in conjunction with UCD in the community, we brought families to the UCD on-site cinema. We got them to watch a film. We transported them there and back. We gave them goodie bags. And the response from the families just to get out for those few hours really warmed our hearts, and it showed us that we need to start trying maybe do more of these types of things to give the children, you know, it's just something different from the norm and what they're used to every single day.
Mm. And do you think in getting this award as well, it reflects, I mean, it's sort of a worldwide problem as well, though it seems to be really bad in Ireland, but it reflects from Europe what they're saying themselves in a sort of quiet way by granting this award to an organisation such as yourself?
Yeah, I think Ireland is definitely on the radar for a lot of people, you know, not only in Europe, but even beyond. I mean, the UN Rapporteur for Housing was in the country last week, and, I mean, she said, you know, housing should be a constitutional right. And, I mean, on one hand, you're being told Ireland's one of the strongest economies in the world, but on the other side of it, we're seeing so many people impacted by homelessness. And not only that, there's so many, you know, houses that are in arrears in their mortgage at the moment. The floodgates could even open further than they are now, and that's the biggest concern for all of us.
Yeah, and I suppose, as you say, with the upsurge in employment as well, I mean, the types of employment out there is questionable, but at the same time, with the upsurge in it there, and they're looking for people to come from abroad who will need to be housed as well, rather, this is all adding to the problem, isn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, we've even seen an example where Google have bought a site in Dublin, the old Boland site, to build accommodation for their staff, because that's the situation we're going to see now, where some of the bigger companies that are coming into the country have to be able to provide accommodation for staff they're asking to either move into Ireland or staff they take on in Ireland itself. And again, that's a big concern for people because there's so many properties that are being sitting vacant at present, either from owned by banks or owned by vulture funds. Mm-hmm. And these properties are sitting vacant all across the country and they're not in use. And yet we have this huge problem where realistically it's over 10,000 people that are homeless at present. Yet we have all these properties that are sitting vacant and aren't being used. So there's huge problems from top to bottom with regards to homeless.
And you're getting the multinationals doing the work of the government when they're building homes for the workers, aren't you, as well?
Yeah, I mean, they obviously recognise the problem in Ireland. They can see, you know, if we're going to take on an extra 300 staff in Dublin, how can those staff afford to pay the rental prices at what they're at the moment? You know, you're talking an average rental price in Dublin of over €2,000. And I'm sure you'll know, and a lot of your listeners will know, like, a lot of people that have mortgages are paying half that price. Mm-hmm. So it's not sustainable for people and for workers to be able to pay those rental prices long term.
Mm-hmm. And of course you throw all the students. I was talking to the president of the Students' Union there a couple of weeks ago, and you add them into the mix as well. It just exacerbates everything right across the board. And it sort of puts workers in a precarious position where the home goes with the job. So, you know what I mean, you can't sort of be free to leave or whatever you want to do. It's just mind-boggling the way all the different connotations that come into it.
Yeah, I think, to be honest, I think the multinationals, you know, would have the chance to kind of have an impact on that, because I just noticed that a lot of the multinationals seem to be hiring staff now that can work from home. And I think that could be a long-term solution, because it will give the opportunity for someone to work for, say, a Google or eBay or whatever, the you know, Amazon, whoever it might be, but also live outside of Dublin, you know, live down in Mullingar or mm-hmm. Longford or wherever it might be, to be able to afford to live, but also be able to work for a company that's based in Dublin. So, mm-hmm. you know, in the long term, maybe that's something that the multinationals could look at as their solution to try and help the problem.
Okay, Brian, it's been a great pleasure talking to you, and congratulations again to yourself and all the team and this wonderful award. So again, before I let you go, just give us all the details of anybody out there, because there's lots of ways they can help. It's not all about money either. People can help with food and clothes and whatever it may be. So give us all the details.
No problem again. So if someone wants to get in touch with us, they can do it via our social media. So on Facebook, we're Inner City Helping Homeless. On Twitter, we're ICHH Dublin. There, or they can get in touch with us through our website, which is www.ichh.ie.
Okay, and again, congratulations, and as I say,
thanks
great pleasure. Thanks very much, Brian. Thank you.
Take care. All the best. Bye
bye. And that's Brian McLaughlin from the Inner City Helping Homelessness, who received that European Citizenship Award.